Okay, Tov, and welcome back to our ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now on Masechet Yevamot, Daf Samach Aleph, in the middle of a sugya. On Daf Samach Amud Aleph, in the middle of a sugya, which we began in the previous podcast. We're at the top of Daf Samach, and we're going to review a braita that we studied at the end of the last session, and we first saw the bright side, and at the end of the previous podcast, the analysis that we did on it was about the issue of Avim Nasan Asui, Rav Huna's approach that meant that you still have to divorce her, and challenging that from Rav and Rav Yochanan. Now we're going to look at the Machloket, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and Chachamim about what the status of the trial. Right? And that's generally the rule. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov against one of his colleagues, the halacha follows him because Mishnato Kavanaki, it is small but distilled. And we'll see that come up in a moment. But there's another version of the statement. My time at Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that he gave his reason. The reason is because he holds like Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar's approach is that panuya bala panuya asa azona. Right? In other words, that the original onus that this Kohen Gadol did on the girl makes her a zona, and therefore later when he marries her, the child is a halal. But since when does Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov agree with Rabbi Eliezer's opinion about Zonah? We always hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which means that we have now a conflict, because if we hold that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in every case, which means that we would paskin that the child is a halal, and if Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's reason is because he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, the panuya bala panuya sa Zonah, which we will see later on, the plethora of opinions about the definition of a zona. And Rabbi Eliezer is perhaps the most far-reaching of the opinions, perhaps. But we reject Rabbi Eliezer la'alacha. So how can we rule like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov if he's based on an opinion that we've rejected? So the answer is kasha. You're right. That seems to reject the second version of what happened. To say that halacha Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov we have no problem with. But to say that halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and his reasoning is because it's based on Rabbi Eliezer, that doesn't work. Now Rav Ashi amar b'yesh halal michai v'yaseik mipalgi. He says that the reason for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's ruling is not because of ruling like Rabbi Eliezer, but rather because of a disagreement about the status of chai v'yasei and the resultant child. Since a Kohen Gadol must marry a Betula, and when he marries Anusat Chaviro, he's marrying a Be'ula, but that's only a Chayve Asei. She's not an Almana, so he did not violate any law. Nonetheless, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says the child is a Halal. The Chacham said very straight, Almana Grusha V'Chalazuna Lo Yikach V'im Yikach V'Lo Yichalel. So halal is only made from violating the law. We'll take a look at this analysis right now. Look very carefully at pasuk number one, which is really three pasukim. We used them yet in the previous podcast also, which gives us asay that he should marry a betula, then the lota says of amana grusha halazona. And then again, but in lieu of that, he should marry a betula. And then at the end of it, it says, v'lo yichalel. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov reads very straight. If he violates any of these norms, then the child is a halal. Ki betula, uchti v'lo yichalel, zor v'av. Akulu, rabbanan eilav sika inyan. He says, when the text says it's eila lo yikach, it means this is the exclusive group that's more severe and creates halal. Ki in betula, the preference is, rather he should take a betula, but she is not, that issue is not astringent, and therefore the result of a lack of bitula, taking a bitula, such as Arusat Chaviro, will not render a halal. Of course, anusar chaviro is the only possibility that we could talk about. Because if she was married to anybody else, then either he died and she's an almana, or he divorced her and she's a grusha. The only other possibility we could think about would be, as we talked about in the previous podcast, a mima'ina. Now, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov amar eila limute nida. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that eila is an exclusive term. He says eila is not there to put a stopper up and say only these four, almana, grusha, chala, zona, create halal, but rather eila, this entire list, creates halal, but not a nida. So if a Kohen Gadol has relations with his own wife, who he properly married, but she's a nida at the time, the child is not a halal. Now, come on, Azad, Tanya, so now, follow this and see who could be the author of this braita. Tanya, me'ela ata osa halal, v'yata osa halal mi nida. And Eila is there to exclude nida. So that's easy. Come on, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, nichtav ela Eila lebasof. So according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, why doesn't it say Eila at the end? In other words, amana gusha v'chala zonah, lo yikach, ki im betula me'amav, yikach me'ela, or something like that. The truth is that it would be, linguistically, it would be very difficult to plug it in. Nonetheless, a good question, why is Eila in the middle? The answer is Kasha. You're right, that's a little bit of a challenge. Now, let's continue on a related theme, and that is about the status of an achot. Remember, a kohen, a regular kohen, is mitameh for his parents, means he perhaps is chayav to, machlok, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, at the beginning of Masachat Sotah, he is perhaps chayav to or allowed to go to the funeral and participate in the burial of his father, his mother, lo aleinu, his son or daughter, brother and sister, and a brother, his wife, and a sister, but not every sister. Achoto habetula karova elav asher lo hayta le'ish. So now, how far does that go? What if his sister is betrothed? What if his sister became an almana or gerusha min ha'erusin and never was with a man? That's the question. Tan Rabbanan, achoto arusa. We're going to go through the whole list. If his sister is betrothed and dies in that state, Rabbi Yosef Shimon Omrim Ein Metamela. So we have a basic machloket between the famous four Tanaim of the fourth generation. Two say he is Metame, two say he's not. We'll see why. Anusa Mufutat. Let's say that his sister was Nansa. Divra Kol Ein Metamela. Everybody agrees that he's not Metame. Umukat Eitz Ein Metamela. Divra Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon now says, and only Rabbi Shimon, says that even if she was a mukar eitz, he would not be ben tamela. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, ruyal koin gadol mitamela, shen ruyal koin gadol ein mitamela. Rabbi Shimon had a rule, and he said the only sister that a regular kohen is mitame for is a sister who is at the present time fit to marry a kohen gadol. A mukar eitz is not fit to marry a kohen gadol, although that's something that we saw was a girsa problem. And we certainly agree that if he does marry the mukar eitz, he does not have to divorce. That's Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. But he should not marry Mukat Eitz, and therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, because of the equation, therefore a regular kohen is not metameh for his sister, is Mukat Eitz. Now, ubogeret metameh la divrei kol adam. Everybody agrees that if his sister is a bogeret, in other words, she's 13, 14 years old, never married, never betrothed, not a Mukat Eitz or anything, then he is metameh la. Now, my Talmud Rav Meir, let's take a look at these four different issues, which is achoto arusa, achoto anusa, Achoto mukat eitz and achoto bogeret. The my tamid Rav Meir Yehuda. So the first machloket about arusa, Rav Meir Yehuda say mitamela. Darshi yachi. They read the pasuk as follows and read pasuk number two. V'la achoto abetula kovei lava sholei taliish. Now achoto abetula pratla anusa umufuta because she's already had relations. She's not a betula. Echosin imotzi av mukat eitz. I might think that anybody who has been penetrated, even non-sexually. It has to be somebody who was not with a man. Her penetration was not al yedei ish, but rather through a stone, a stick, whatever. Now it says, what does that mean? She's close to him, the Kohen. Because she still lives at home, so she's still, if she's an arusa, she's betrothed to another man. Nonetheless, she's still his sister, and she's still krova. Eilav, krova eilav, l'rabo tabogeret. Anyone who's close to him, even if she's already a bogeret. Now, halam alikra. Question is, according to Meir, why do I need this? If you recall in the previous podcast, Rabbi Meir was of the opinion that the word betula as a default means even minimal betula, and that's why Biv Tulaha expanded it to even a Bogera. Right? In the case of a Kohen Gadol. But that means betula here should mean any betula. So what do I need a special pasuk to tell me even a Bogeret? I might think that we should infer betula from the case of the Na'ara betula, which is a pasuk that I didn't include on the page. But it is the pasuk of Na'ara betula, which shows up in the context of Ones in Parsha Kitetze. So I might think that by definition, Betula means Na'ara. Therefore, I need the Pasuk Hakrovah to tell me even a Bogeret is included. Na'ara of Kanan Minara. Kamash Malan. Good. Rabbi Yosef Rishim, my Tamay, I saw the Rabbi Yosef Rishim say that Arusa, he is not Metame for Darshi Achi. This is how they learn the same Pasuk. Watch, just follow it, and it's laid down on the page. L'achotah betula, pratla anusa, umufuta, umukat eitz. Asher lo haita, now we'll see that umukat eitz is really machlo. Not, Rabbi Yosef and Shimon don't agree about that, but anusa umufuta is knocked out by betula. Asher lo haita, pratla arusa, so that excludes an arusa because she's haita le'ish, because she's been betrothed. And she's had kiddushin. Hakrova l'rabot arusa shenit garsha. So what's that for? That is to include someone who was an arusa, then was nitgarsha mina irusin, and now she's back living in her father's home, and then she passed away. Elav, what's that? L'rabot tabogeret. Everybody seems to accept that. Hakrova l'rabot arusa garsha. Now you said that hakrova is there to include arusa shenit garsha. Remember, Rabbi Shimon is part of this twosome, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon. And he's saying now, an arusa shenit garsha, you're metame for. But he just said that any woman who's not fit for a coin gadol, you're not metame for. But if she's a grusha, she's not ruila any coin. So shaniatam Rabbi Achmana krova. The answer is there when the Torah said krova means if at the time of death she's krova, which means that she's no longer arusa, then you're metame la. It's a special pasuk. So, hiyachi mukareitz nami. So, if that's the case, then why are you excluding mukareitz? And why are you saying mukareitz you're not metame for? You're saying, because that, because she's not really the coin gadol. But here she's also not really the coin gadol. Oh, here it's krova. So, apply krova to that. Rabbi krova achad velo shtayim, because it says krova velo krovot. Now, there's no way he could have said krovot, but we're taking the pasuk as is and saying krova means in singular, she's close. One close girl, you're metame for. Another close girl, you're not metame for. Close girl, you're matame for is your sister who was divorced from Erusin. All right, so now umaraita. So why, if you're going to pick one, why'd you pick that one? Why didn't you pick mukareitz? Hi, David Ramaisa, lo David Ramaisa, because the sister who was arusa nidkarsha never physically had anything happen to her, as opposed to the mukareitz. Now we now see there's machloket about arusa. There is a consensus about anusa. A consensus in the opposite direction of Bogeret, and then Mukat Eitz, Rabbi Shimon alone said not. So, Rabbi Yossi, Midashavke, Labarzuge, since Rabbi Yossi seemed to walk away from his partner, Rabbi Shimon, when it came to Mukat Eitz, Mechlal to Mukat Eitz, Grab Meir Sriole, he must hold like Grab Meir that Mukat Eitz, you're Matame for. So, Manale, why that? Because Milo Aitale Ish. Same thing. Because it says that Abtulah Kroi Lava Shelo Aitala Ish, and Mukareitz is not Ish, it's a stone or a rock or a stick or something. Aiva Pikte. But Rabbi Yossi already used Asherlo Aitala Ish to exclude an Arusa. To say Asherlo Aitala, so that excludes an Arusa. So one is excluding and one is including. Right? So he said, Chad Milot Naita. Nachad mila ish. Lo haita is there to exclude an arusa, because haita. But leish is there to include a mukareitz because she wasn't violated by an ish. Now, elav, they're both a bogeret. Everybody agrees that the elav seems to include a bogeret. I remember Shimon betula, betula shlema mashma. I, but Rabbi Shimon, in the sugya we had in the previous podcast, said that the word, but the default meaning of betula is dafka a betula shlema, and that should exclude a bogeret. That's why bivtula came to include a bogeret. So tamadidei nami hata mihacha. Indeed, that's where Rabbi Shimon gets his information from. How does Rabbi Shimon know that betula means betula shlema? Because here, because the Torah had to say akrova ilav to tell me a bogeret is included, that tells me that normally a betula is limited by age, and once she's a bogeret, she's no longer considered a betula in normal cases, and the exception is here with burial. Now, that concludes that piece. Tanu Rishim ben Yochai Omer, Giyaret Pchutam Bat Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Achal Ksherah LeKuhuna. A girl converts below the age of 3, means she was never Ra'ui Labia. She could marry a Kohen. There's no Din of Zona here, because there's no Chshash whatsoever that she had Bia before that age with as a Goya, and with a Goy, and even if she did, it's not a meaningful act. Shinemar, how do we know that? V'chol Atav Manashim Ashaleh Adu Mishkav Zachar. This is in Machamet Midyan, which is coming up in next week's Parsha. Machamet Midyan, Moshe says to bring all of the women, Asher lo yadu mishkav zachar, all the young women, hachayu lachem, you may keep them alive for you. Vare Pinchas imayim, and who was Moshe talking to? To the Rashi HaMatot, including Pinchas. Pinchas, a Kohen. By the way, Pinchas is acting as something like Kohen Gadol because he's Mashuach Mechamah. And he's saying, you can keep them alive for you. And the assumption there is that you may marry them. Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan do who say that a girl of any age who converts, even a tiny, a day-old girl who converts, is psula lekuna? So, l'avadim l'tshvachot, l'achayu l'chem means you keep them alive for you as avadim, but not as wives. So, i'achi bat shalosh shanim v'yom achad nami. So, if that's the case, then even a girl who is 3 years old, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai should disallow. Rabbi Shimon should allow even a girl who is 3, right, as long as she is, as long as she's never had bia. Why is he putting a limit at 3? So, Rav Huna found a contradiction. Ktiv kol isha yodad ish mishkav zachar rogu. Take a look at pasuk number 3 on the page. Right, kol isha yodad ish mishkav zachar harogu. Any woman who has had relations of the Midianiot will die. So, ha'ini odad kaimu. So it means that any girl who has not had relations should keep alive. Chal dataf ben yadu ben lo yadu kaimu. So it sounds like little girls, whether they've had relations or not, you keep them alive. Uchtivan, on the other hand, it says, v'chal dataf v'nashim asher yadu mishkav zachar chayu lachem. The young girls who have never had relations, you can keep alive. Mashma, ha'yadu harogu. So if they did have relations, then they die. So the text must not be talking about actually if they had relations, but rather if they've reached the age of Ra'ui Libayo, which is 3 years. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, anachronistically, if you will, relying on Rabbi Huna's reconciliation of the contradiction of these psukim, says that that the age of 3 is the point. In other words, we're not concerned with actual bia, but Ra'ui Libayo. Tanya miachi v'chol isha yodad ish b'ruya libay ela katu medaber. So the Brita says that the pasuk in Parshat Matot, pasuk number 3 on the page, is referring not to actually having had bia, but being ra'ui libia. Tell me, b'ruya libay elu eno li nivala mamash. So we raise the possibility, maybe we're talking about a girl who actually had bia. Shomer v'chol atav manashim asher le'adu mishkav zachar v'yomer ruya libay ela katu medaber. It says young girls who did not know mishkav zachar, so it has nothing to do with whether they had it or not. Right, it has to do with whether they're the right age. Now, minayadi, so how are they going to know whether the girl is of that age or not? So they brought the tzitz out, the gold plate, the head, the tiara that the Kohen Gadol wore. It's in Kodesh Lashem. And they brought it in front, they passed all the girls in front. If the girl's face went green, that proved that she was of age and she died. And if her face did not go green, then she's not ro'i libael. Now, I'm Rav Nachman, siman la'avera hadrokan. So Rav Nachman, parenthetically, and perhaps seems is raising a little bit of a challenge, says that hadrokan, this kind of greenish reflection, is a sign of avera, which may mean that the tzitz was not defining their age, but rather whether or not they had actually had bia. Now, Kayotze v'Devar HaTomer, so we have a parallel sort of circumstance, and this is the story of Pilagesh B'Givah. Pilagesh B'Givah, the glorious story in Tanakh, which is the last three chapters of Sefer Shoftim, concludes with also a not-so-flattering chapter in our history, and that is where all of the other tribes go to war against Shevet Binyamin, wipe out their entire, all of their towns, all their families, and all that are left are 600 warriors of Binyamin, no wives, no children. And they all, Bnei Yisrael, also take an oath that no one will give their daughter as a wife to a member of Shevet Binyamin. As a result of that, they are now stuck with Shevet Binyamin about to disappear because nobody can marry them, and they've gotten their own wives are dead. And so the first thing that they did is they went up to Yavesh Gilad, which is in northwest Jordan, to find the members of Bnei Yisrael, ostensibly Shevet Gad, who did not participate in the war. And they were killed, and only the young girls were brought to marry Shevet Binyamin. There were only 400 of them, not enough. The other 200 were found in the dancing in the vineyard near Shiloh. But nonetheless, the part that we're concerned is as follows. Now, how did they know? Now here, they're clearly taking the position that it's not Ra'uili Ba'el, but it is whether they were Nivalu. Which seems to be now speaking back to the previous sugya and saying that it really was about having bia, right? How did they do it? The famous barrel test. They put the girl sitting on top of a barrel. Be'ula recha nodef. So if she was a be'ula, then a whiff of the wine would come out of her mouth. Be'tula ein recha nodef. So whether we want to call this a scientific test or somewhat of a miraculous thing, in any case, the bitula would somehow, the flavor of the wine would not somehow go through her body, come out of her mouth, and that's they knew she was a bitula. Now, v'navrinu l'fnei atzitz, so why didn't they just put them in front of the tzitz? Gana b'redu avnatan l'ratzon l'ayam. The tzitz, as we see in Pasuk number 6, is l'ratzon. It's supposed to be appeasement and grace from Israel, not punishment. L'ratzon v'lo poranut. So you don't want to have Jewish people in Yavesh Gilad killed based on the tzitz. So yachi midyan nami. So why do we use the tzitz in midyan? Rashi lahem k'tiv. It's ratzon lahem for Bnei Yisrael. Lahem the ratzon v'lo pranut. Uvdei kochavim for the pranut. But for uvdei kochavim, we don't mind that the tzitz is used for punishment. Miyakov ra'idi amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi halachak Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So he says that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. If a girl converts before the age of 3, that she is ra'ui l'kuna. It's an interesting methodological question. Did you hear from some master officially that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, or did you infer it from a case? My chlala, what's the inference that you might have made that I would challenge your inference? There was a town in Eretz Yisrael, and people started claiming that the girls there had been something was wrong with the yichus. Shiger Rabbi and Rabbi Romanos Ubadka. So Rabbi sent one of his students and he checked it out. Samba bat giorat chutam bat shol shanim v'yom echad. He found that there was a girl there who was had converted below the age of 3. V'chshira Rabbi lekunin. Rabbi said she could marry a kohen. So you see that. But now there was a claim of yirer, which means she was already married to the Kohen, and Rebbe said she could stay married to the Kohen. Now, Amar Leva Fe'rush Mi'ali. And so Rav Yaakov Ra'idi answered back, I heard explicitly, he said to Rebbe Zeir, I heard explicitly the Alachas Rav Shem Bar Yochai, I didn't infer it from the case. V'imi Chol Amai, and what would have been so bad if I'd inferred it from that case? That's a pretty good proof that if a girl converts below the age of 3, that she's Ra'ui Lakuna, because Rebbe said she could stay married. So no, Dilmashaniyatam Hovi Insiv Insiv. Maybe that's different because she was already married. Maybe Rebbe said she doesn't have to get divorced. The Ha Rav Rabbi Yochanan Meritavayer Bulgarin Mukare Tzolisav Nasan Asui. After all, Rav Rabbi Yochanan said that a Kohen Gadol may not marry Mukat Eitzor or a Bulgarit, but if he does marry them, one of them, he can stay married. So you see that not every case where you're not allowed to marry someone, if you do marry, you have to divorce. Now, Hachi Ashta, so Yaakov Yidi answers back, that's not a good challenge. Because Bishlamatam Sofaliot Bogir Tahtav Sofaliot Bu'ulatahtav. After all, what was our argument for why, if a Kohen Gadol marries a Bu'ula, and even Anusat Atzmo, and a Mukat Eitz, that he could stay married? Because ultimately she would come to that status married to him. But here, are you going to say the same thing, that ultimately she would become a zona? Meaning, if we're going to say that any girl from the day she's born who converts as a din of zona, then you can't argue that, well, if you already married her, you'd stay married, because ultimately she would end up in that state anyways, because that's not, just not true. Rav Safra matni la michlala. Rav Safra learned that halacha Rav Shimon bar Yochai from this story, not from Beferush, not because he heard it explicitly, but because he inferred it from this story. The Kashale, and he had the same question, maybe the story doesn't prove anything. But Mishana Le'achi, and he gave the same answer, that it does prove it, because if Rebbe said she could stay married to the guy, then that means that she's not considered a zona at all. And unlike a Bogert Mukaret, who would say, all right, you should marry, but if you did, it's okay. Now, Hahu Kahana, the Insiv Giyar Pchuta Matshala Shadim Yomachad. Now there's a story of a Kohen who married a girl who had converted below the age of 3. Amarle Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak asked, "My high, well, how could you do this?" Amarle, then Rav Yaakov Bar Yidi, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Halacha Gav Shem Bar Yochai, because I heard that the Halacha is like Shem Bar Yochai, and I, a Kohen, may marry this girl. Amarle Zil Api, he said, "Get out of here." Vilo Mafik Nalach Rav Yaakov Bar Yidi Miunach, and if not, I'll throw Rav Yaakov Bar Yidi at you. In other words, I'm saying that that is not the Halacha. Tani Rechem Rav Shem Bar Yochai. Now, parenthetically, so we see that there was opposition to this ruling, like Rav Shem Bar Yochai. And that seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara, that we do not accept Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and then we have to figure out what we do with the story of Rebbe. And then we have a parallel thing, which is the Farshim have a very great difficulty in understanding what the parallel is. The V'chein, of Rav Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Kivrei Ovdei Kochavim Einan Mitamin Ba'Ohel. If you walk over a kever of a goy, then there's no Tumat Ohel. Shinamar, why? V'Aten Sonit Son Mariti Adam Atem. In Yechezkel, the Navi refers to Am Yisrael as Adam Atem. You are Adam. Atem Kuyin Adam ve'ena Avdei Kochavim Kuyin Adam. Adam refers only to Am Yisrael. And therefore, in the Pasuk, which is on the page, Adam Ki Amut Po'el only refers to Am Yisrael. Meitive, we have a challenge from this back in the Milchemet Midyan in next week's Parsha. V'nefesh Adam Shisha Asar Aleph. They're counting the people and the animals that they took, and they count the people that they took as slaves. And they reckon them as Nefesh Adam, and these are Goyim. So the answer is Mishum Behemah. The answer is because they're reckoning Bakar and Chamor. What are they going to call these? And they call them Adam. They're not called uniquely and singularly Adam, but as a genus, they're called Adam. Also, Asher Yesh Bahar Beim, Yishtemesre Yibo Adam, Asher Le Adam, and Yimino Lesmolo Beim Arabah, the last Pasuk in Sefer Yonah, where God says, I have compassion over the city that has all of these people, more than 120,000 Adam, and these are all people of Nineveh. The answer is Mishum Behemah, again, because it's Behemah Rabbah, so what are we going to call these if not Adam? Call it now. There's a challenger, which is called Oreg Nefesh V'chol Nogea B'chalal Tzitchatu. In the War of Midian, it says that anybody who killed somebody has to go through the Tahara Paraduma, and ostensibly they were killing the Midian. So the one answer given is Dilma Ikto Chad Mi'Yisrael. Perhaps inadvertently, friendly fire, a Jew was killed. Rabbanan say, Lo Nifkad Menuish. Take a look at the Pasuk, and the generals reported back to Moshe, not one of us was lost. Shimon Yochai says, Lo Nifkad Menuish La'Avira. That means none of our men sinned in the battlefield. Maybe they were lost. Maybe some did die in war. That's one way to answer this challenge of why there's Tumat Mate on the battlefield with Midian. Because it was really the possibility that one Jew killed another inadvertently in war. Ravina Amar says, no, you don't need that. Nehi de Me'atinu Kra Me'atmuye Ba'Oel. Just because the Torah refers to Yisrael uniquely as Adam, and therefore Goyim are excluded from Tumat Ohel, that doesn't mean that Goyim are excluded from Tumat Magao Masa of Mate. And for that particular purpose, they are still included, and that's what happened in the war. If you stabbed somebody, killed somebody, that's Tumat Maga. Okay, the next Mishnah, we're going to do two more very short Mishnayot and short pieces. Let's say a Kohen betrothed an Almana, which is Mutter, and then he became Kohen Gadol. Yichnos, he can marry her. Marta Baitus. Marta Baitus is a very wealthy widow. Yeshua ben Gamla married her. And the Hasmonean king then appointed him be Kohen Gadol, the Roman Kinsa. He married her. Now, Shemer Yavam Shana, Falef Nei Kohen Adjot, Nin Manel Yod Kohen Gadol, Fisha, Saba Mamar, Reza Lichnos. The same is not true about a Shemer Yavam. A Shemer Yavam fell before a Kohen, and then he became Kohen Gadol. Even if he did Mamar, he can't marry her. All right, and we'll see why. Now, Tana Banan, Minayin Shi Mireis Tal Manan, Nin Manel Yod Kohen Gadol, Shnechnos Tal Manoma, Yikach Isha. It says that he shall take a betula as an isha, and he called, he shall not take an almana isha, but once he takes her, right? Once he takes her, then she is already ishto. The minute he has kiddushin, she's ishto. And then he continue with the process of nisuin. That of course would not apply to shemayt yavam. So yach shemayt yavam nami isha v'lo yavama. The answer is that it says yikach isha. So if he takes somebody as a woman, which is kiddushin, continue the process. Shemayt yavam is not the same. Now, Masebi Yoshua, the story now in Manelo, that he was appointed by the king, not that he was appointed properly. That's the understanding of the language. Yosef Katir Kachazina Achi. I see a conspiracy. Amar Vasi Tarkala de Dinari Ailele Marta Bat Baitus Lianai Malka. Marta Bat Baitus brought to Alexander Yanai, the evil king, a whole bucket full of gold. To the point where she paid for, and this is something we know happened a lot in the Hasbaniyah Nira, she paid for the office of Kohen Gadol for her husband. Okay, the next Mishnah. Kohen Gadol shemet achiv choleitz v'lo miyabem. If a Kohen Gadol, he's already Kohen Gadol, and his brother Kohen dies, he does not do yibum, but he does do chalitza, if he's not the only brother, on the almanah. Now, kofasak v'tani lo shnam ne'erusin v'lo shnam ne'erusui. We said that whether if the girl die, if the brother dies, he does yibum and he does chalitza not yibum, and we did not distinguish between the girl being betrothed or married to the brother. So now bishtomin adisuin asevelotaseu. I understand this is a small piece of a sugi we did in the beginning of the masechet. I understand why if she was a married, then there's an asein alotase because she's. Not she's there's an almana here and also a lack of betula. And I say dochalotase vase. The ase of yibum will not be docha the ase of betula and the lotase of almana. But if it's only almana min ha'erusin, then all she is a lotase of erusin of almana. And the ase of yibum should be docha the lam almana. The answer is zelav yerushama to be a shniya. This is something we saw earlier in the sugya of why we don't have Yibum in the case of Chai Belavin, because, according to not Rabbi Kiva, it is because even though that bia would be appropriate, any bia afterwards would be inappropriate because there's no mitzvah Yibum and just a violation. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow in the next podcast, we will have a short piece. We're going to do the rest of the sugya of Kohen and the issue of Zonah. And then in the podcast following that, we will start on the relatively long sugya of the mitzvah of Puravu. Everybody should have a wonderful day.